Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. To another episode of FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and it's awesome to be here with you yet again on another fun episode we have in store for you. Today, I guess I'm kind of theming this episode a little bit like loving someone with FSHD. A lot of us do. I believe I am loved by someone that loves me because I have FSHD, or not because, but loves me anyway, I guess, right? Someone that's in your life, your partner, your caregiver, your closest friend, whatever that person is, or people, maybe it's more than one, kind of a perspective a little bit from them today. There was a post that I'm going to share with you that kind of got my attention, and I quickly introduced or asked these guests to come on. It's Leah Lee and Joe Lee. They are a married couple. They've been together for a while, like 14 years they've been married. They've been together for 20 years. And when you see them, you're going to go, wow, they're really young. Yep, they met in eighth grade. And that's rare in itself. Joe has FSHD, and Leah is his wife. Joe has had it in his family. This is not a huge surprise to have the disease. But the courage, the love that they have for each other, the great advice on adaptions and taking on this disease is remarkable. The post that got me, and I'll pull some of it out of here, is I found it on Muscular Dystrophy Coalition. It was, a site on social that I was seeing, particularly on Facebook. And she says, loving someone with FSHD means learning to live in constant motion. Everything is always shifting emotionally, physically, and mentally. Joe is incredibly intelligent, thoughtful, and full of deep love of life, or for life. That part of him never fades. But the way life moves around him and within him means we get used to one version of normal, and then something else changes. Something else slips away. It's scariest to watch him fall. As his wife, it's a unique kind of heartbreak. There's a helplessness in seeing someone you love more than anything wrestle with a body that no longer listens to him. And there's a pain that comes from knowing he'd rather struggle through it alone and ask for help. I watch him fight every day, not just the disease, but the frustration, the anger, the mourning of small freedoms lost. And I do my best to be strong beside him. But some days, navigating this emotion feels like walking through a storm I can't control. And she continues on. He tries to protect me from how hard it is for him. And in return, I carry the quiet aches of watching him carry too much. There's so much love there. There's also grief, and sometimes those two things sit side by side, tangled in the same breath. I miss the ease we used to have. I miss not being afraid of what's next, but I'm still here. She says, forever loving him, holding space for him in whatever aspect is needed, honoring the man he is, even as the disease tries to pull pieces of him away. We may never get to stay in one moment, but I hold on to each moment anyway, fiercely and gently, because loving him within his shifting landscape is still the greatest gift of my life. Whew. How does that not get your attention or make you say, man, I totally relate to that. I've thought those things, either if you were the caregiver, the loved one, or the person with the disease. They're protecting each other from the changing things. It got me emotional just reading it. It got me emotional that it's her first time I read it. And I knew I had to reach out. And I did. And they were so kind to be on this episode. You can do the same thing. Reach out if you'd like, or post something out there that I might get my attention. I might just reach out to you. FSHDradio@FSHDsociety.org is my email. And when I reached out to Leah and Joe. We quickly tried to figure out a time to get this recorded because I think it holds a lot of value for everyone. The key things to listen into is the things that they talk about with their adaptions, even though they might not use those words. Joe also talks about certain supplements and things he takes that are working for him that aren't your typical pharmaceuticals, which is, in my mind, very helpful. They have two kids. They talk about that as well. They talk about their community and having FSHD in their community. So many things we covered and so many great takeaways is offered in this episode. So without further ado, we'll get right to it now with my conversation with Leah and Joe. Hi, everyone. I've got some exciting news for you from the FSHD community. If you've ever felt the unpredictability of FSHD or wish there was more accurate research and information out there, and I know you have, then listen up. I'm thrilled to tell you about Better Life FSHD, a groundbreaking new research platform from the FSHD Society that's changing the game for those of us living with FSHD. Better Life is your one-stop hub for tracking symptoms, accessing personalized resources like articles and videos relevant to you. And the best part, as you take surveys and track your symptoms, you provide FSHD researchers with better data to understand this complex, understudied disease. And a better understanding can lead to faster treatments, something every one of us can get behind. So ahead over to betterlifefshd.org and join the study. It only takes a minute to get signed up. Together, we can change the future for everyone affected by FSHD. I've done this. It's a simple process. I challenge you to do the same. Again, that's betterlifefshd.org. Now let's get back to the show. As promised, a great interview here we have with a fantastic couple. Enjoyed our little pre-recorded conversation, but had to record because it was getting too good, so we got to make sure we get this down. As mentioned, this is Leah and Joe Lee from Ohio. Have some kids. Joe has FSHD. Leah is someone that really kind of posted something out there that kind of spoke to me. I'm a full-out guy that like stalks all the FSHD places. And then I found this amazing post. It really kind of spoke to me. We'll talk maybe a little bit about that. But first, let's get to know them a little bit. So thank you guys for joining us and being here. Spend a little bit of time and a little bit of yourselves with us.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited.
That's good. You're not too nervous, I hope. No?
The nerves are always there.
Yeah, well, like an old coach used to tell me, if you're nervous, that means you're ready.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you're doing something you have never done before.
Yes. So, Joe, you have FSHD. It's in your family, you've mentioned, right? Your dad has it. Is anybody else in your family have it?
So my dad and my dad had two brothers and a sister. And so I have my father, my grandfather, one uncle. And then I just recently had, in the last 5 years or so, found out that my aunt has always had it.
Wow.
But like lots of people in our group, you know, kind of know or have who have this or know people that have it. It affects everybody differently. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know my aunt had it until, you know, I was at least 28 or so.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, so you knew it was around. It didn't,
yeah.
And I know. And then at some point, like, how was your diagnosis process, even though you knew it was in your family? Was that difficult? Did you have to get the blood test? How was that path for you?
So I noticed symptoms when I was in fifth grade. So that was around 2001. That was with my cheeks not being able to inflate, trying to play the saxophone in school. We switched to a different instrument.
Yeah,
a brass instrument, thinking, you know, the mouthpiece would be better there. And I was able to finish the year in band switching instruments. But that was when we really realized it's definitely affecting me.
Yeah.
Because when you can't hold your cheek, hold air in your cheeks, you know that that mouth weakness is there. And so I knew that was happening. And then around seventh grade, so 2 years later, I always played basketball. I played basketball, soccer, baseball when I was a kid. And noticed starting the new basketball season that my right arm just wasn't there. Like, you know, the strength wasn't there like it used to be. And so over the next couple years there, from 2003 to 2005, I gradually lost my right bicep. And I gradually just, you know, went down to basically skin and bone. And everything always affected the right side of my body first. And I think that's kind of typical with, from what I've heard in the medical field, that they notice it's more of an asymmetrical kind of effect.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. And I don't know if anybody knows exactly like why one side over the other. I think for me, it might be on my left, but that's not my dominant side. So I don't know.
And that's just, so. And my father is left-handed, but I'm right-handed. It affected his right side as well first.
Got it.
So, and who knows what why it's doing that, but it does seem to do that in a lot of people, that asymmetrical degradation. But yeah, so I knew from a pretty early on that I had it. I knew what it was. It was in the family. I never had like a bunch of official diagnoses on record, but through talking with my dad and his experiences growing up, we knew what it was and it could be coming. So I noticed all that stuff early on. And it wasn't until 2014, I believe, is when I first started. I got my first referral to Ohio State.
Okay.
And so when I first went there, I met with all the different specialists, and physical therapists and a pulmonologist and genetic counselor. And I was under the impression that basically it was on record that I had FSHD at that point, but there was never a blood test done or anything. And I was even, then I got invited to be part of, So in 2015, I stopped going to Ohio State. Okay. And then in 2019, I went back to Ohio State because I was coming out of my work. I was hitting a point doing the mechanic stuff where I was starting to lose dexterity in my hands. At that point, my right arm or my left arm had gone as well. The drop foot was starting to affect, you know, tripping. I made the decision I have to change career paths. And I was blessed enough with a close relationship with my boss and management and things. I'd been there enough years. They kind of guided me onto the options of being on disability before I, you know, figured out what I was going to do with the rest of my life, kind of. And so in doing that, I ended up going back to Ohio State. Okay. And that was what we were kind of talking about earlier. It was a very difficult decision, or very, very difficult process, trying to get the referrals to go back to Ohio State, because I already knew what I had, but the doctors I'm seeing don't understand FSHD. And that led me down like the path of disagreeing with the physicians on if I had Lyme disease or other certain things. And they wanted me to, this one doctor, she thought I had Lyme disease and wanted me to see a chakra healer.
What?
And an herbal shaman.
Oh.
And
okay.
I wasn't opposed. I wasn't necessarily opposed. Not closed minded on that or anything. But,
right. But that's the first thing. Yeah, that's interesting.
And so she actually went as far as like writing on my disability claim that they believed I had Lyme disease and I was refusing treatment.
Oh,
so it complicated a lot of stuff. And it kind of came down to me saying, you know, like, if you're not going to give me my referral to Ohio State, then I have to go somewhere else.
That's what
I need. And, you know, so then that I got my referral to Ohio State in 2018, early 2019. And I was able to get a blood test done because they asked if I would be part of the Resolve Research trial.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Resolve Research study.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that through Ohio State for about a year and a half. And in that process, I finally had my document with the blood work, you know, with the results.
Yeah. That was official.
So yeah, so it was an extensively long process to get a diagnosis, but I think a lot of it was just not getting into the right channels, mm-hmm. you know, not being able to talk to the specific right person without, you know, prior medical approval or referrals and that kind of stuff.
What a mess. Wow.
Yeah.
That is messy, frustrating.
It does.
Did you ever go then to the shaman chakra person?
No, I did not. No. Now that was, I think, part of her, you know, statement on I refuse treatment.
And, oh, sure. Yeah. Or her kind of treatment.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so doctors are frustrating. Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, I see a neurologist every year. I think I do it more just to kind of, I don't know, I think kind of for the same landmines I don't want to fall into is like you've kind of talked out, like, right? Like, I guess at least there's some documentation that this is what it is.
Yeah.
I kind of do it for that. But I always tell the doctor, you know, I'm back here so you can document my demise. I guess. I'm like, so
yeah.
What is gone, right? Like, what is not, working anymore.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you know, when I first went to my neurologist, that gentleman said, well, I'll have you come back then in a year. And I went, why? Are you going to have a cure in your desk drawer or something by then? Or
that's right.
It's like you originally said, there's no treatment, no cure. I didn't even get a pamphlet about what this is. So I think like so many of you, right, there's just that frustration factor. Then you go to Dr. Google and you start asking that thing, you know, hey, what do I have? What is this all going to mean? Now, you've had a little bit of that, family, you know, history where you could at least dip to that. I found it interesting too, what you guys called it in your family, as we were pre-talking. Stuff. You have the stuff.
My dad's grandmother used to say, "Well, we're praying for you. You got that stuff." And back when he was being diagnosed, there really wasn't, you know, there wasn't any. It wasn't. I don't even think it was in the medical books at that point in the 70s.
No.
So and it's funny too. So because when he started the process of trying to document some things when he was younger in his early 20s. He was in, it's weird that we're in the same kind of realm now as they were then. They don't know much more now than they did then.
Right.
And they do know more, but it's still, what is it? It don't really amount to a whole lot.
Right. Still not like a treatment there or something that they're, it's getting closer, but yeah.
When he went, I remember being young and him telling me that, you know, he had to sign the paperwork where they could use the photographs of his body in a book and things like that, because it was a form of muscular dystrophy that they didn't recognize or realize, you know, or they thought it was FSHD, but nothing was necessarily documented about things at that time. When I actually started going to Ohio State in 2014, I ran into the same thing where the physical therapist was, you know, kind of like, you're a unique specimen. And as much as you can teach me, I would love to learn. And she was writing about neuromuscular diseases and had a book that she was working on. And so I did. So I signed papers and we took photographs in her office of my back and chest and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it was kind of interesting that, you know, here we are like 50 years later, 40 years later, you know, and they really still didn't really
even
know anything.
Even when we saw
still
the geneticist, she had only diagnosed one person before with FSHD.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But yet they're telling us it's the most common form.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you read about it online and you can see that it's one of the most common forms, if not the most common form, but it doesn't seem that way.
Feel-
you know, it doesn't feel that way.
No. Yeah, and I know, like you mentioned prior to, like, you get, or people get it confused with MS. Yeah, like it's not even the same. Like, it's not even close.
No, it's not
it's
even.
Like,
it's completely
yeah.
different. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
completely different, and it gets a little frustrating. Yeah,
yeah.
But you want to educate people and teach them what it is, and there's so many different people who throw different names like MS out, and it's not to discredit MS. It's just different, and it's something.
Yeah.
Something else.
Well, it also it brings to light that, you know, there is so much spotlight on a lot of other conditions. There really isn't a whole lot
on FSHD.
On FSHD.
No.
We remember, you know, the fundraisers for MDA growing up all the time on TV.
Oh, yeah.
You see them at the gas station, the Clovers, the Shamrocks. You see that stuff all the time, right? But none of it really specifies on FSHD. It's kind of like FSHD is just in the background, you know.
Yeah. It's always seemed to be, you know, they always would show the kids with Duchenne's and like just absolutely tragic stories, which, I mean, that is what raises the money, right? I mean, you want that emotional currency, as I've been told before, like to like pull people in. It makes sense. Like, that's how you want to raise your money. Totally get it. And so, yeah, so like I always say, like, man, you know, there are people that are diagnosed. You have young kids, you know, they can have it, show signs of it. There's other parents I've talked to where their children have really been suffering with it a great deal. And it's like, they're the ones yelling, like, can someone please acknowledge us? Because, you know, it seems like as soon as someone hits like in their 30s or 40s, that's like when it's talked about, there's this massive group of people that have FSHD that they're really young. And then well, they have, you know, access to a treatment if they're being ignored because they're not going to test it for that age. They got to wait till they're 18. Like, really? You know, there's all these like really, really terrible hurdles. And yet at the same time, I go, well, the MDA has been showing children with muscular dystrophy all these years. Why FSHD, like, kind of sliding the kids to the front going, yeah, this is the part of our community that really needs your help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of, it's like, there's a lot of disconnect because it doesn't fit the business model.
Well, I know in our family specifically, they're very private. And so even in our community, his dad had lived here for over 30 years.
Yeah,
and
40 years.
We've lived here our whole lives growing up. And unless you were around us or in our class or whatever, that's how they learned about it. But people out in the community have no clue. I mean, we go to the pool or something and Joe takes his shirt off and it's a shock to everybody around. Lots of
right, because he looks so great.
That's right.
I'm like how do I get that body? I know, that's always what I say too. I'm like, look out world, here comes the snowman with skin. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, what the hell?
It can be frustrating to, you can't run up to everybody like, this is what it is. And I'm sorry if it's, you know, scary or whatever. Like, we're just here to have a family day or, you know, it's no matter what we do. Cause we're very active. We like to go kayaking, things like that. He does everything very differently. His movements are very differently. And it's always a spectacle.
Yeah.
So we've learned to, embrace the spectacle.
It was funny. I just got my first full set of AFOs, ankle foot orthotics, a few months ago. The one that I had gotten back in 2015, it was gaudy and bulky, and it was very, very cumbersome. And you would only put it on if you felt like you had to have it, because it's dangerous to walk without it. So I never used it. You know, I just kept doing things the way I had to do them. Grew up watching a dad who did things the way he had to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've continuously done as much stuff as I can the way that I have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I just recently had got that set and they felt really good, you know, the first day or so. And I was joking with her. And I'm like,
I feel like I can run
again or something, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't.
It was so exciting.
But I thought about like that social aspect of it, because I was like, you know, jokingly, I'm like, you know, I think these leg braces are kind of a good thing, because somebody can just see me coming and know something's
wrong.
Something medically isn't right. It's not like what's wrong with this guy? You know what I mean? Or whatever. But
Right.
at least somebody can see
Right.
that.
Yeah, there's like true evidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah,
like, see?
See, look at, I have a brace. I am allowed to be this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
I'm
what kind of
allowed to
AFO?
Be weird.
I'm allowed to be weird and walk funny.
Yeah.
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 What kind of AFO did you settle on? I mean, can you describe it or?
I can grab it real quick, but
Oh, okay.
It's like a
Okay.
carbon fiber brace.
Okay. Because I'm curious. Yeah. Because I have the drop foot left side myself. And I have
Yes,
a
it's
really
tripping.
crappy one. Yeah. Where like it feels like it's squeezing your feet and your shoe because it slides in your shoe. And then I got one that is really expensive on my own. From overseas, and it has, yeah, carbon fiber goes around the shoe instead of inside the shoe. It's kind of a different
Oh, it's
model.
just
I
inside
was
the shoe.
curious. Yeah,
Yeah,
yours
these
goes
go
inside.
inside.
Okay.
Inside the shoe. But
Okay. Yep. Yep.
there is carbon fiber. It comes
Yeah,
up
it
around the
is.
back of the leg.
Yeah.
But it goes under the sole of the shoe.
Yeah. Do you find it uncomfortable where your foot is on it?
But not that, but it's where the strap goes around your shin. It
Oh,
almost
okay. The pain in that area now.
Yeah, it almost feels like you have like a bone spur on your shin if you wear them too long.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. I had more of the, I had one that's similar to that. Carbon fiber, a lot more flexibility for sure. You could kind of walk instead of having like a stiff foot, you know, that was like how people walk. And I was just constantly, I felt like even if I tried to get a little bit bigger shoe, it still was really like hurting my feet, like terrible. So like you
Yeah.
said, like I was like, I don't know if I want to wear this, or I only would wear it when
You're
I
like
had.
exchanging one symptom for another
Yeah.
symptom, and you're trying to
Yeah,
figure it all out.
and it's really a battle because I go through a lot of years of feeling like I'm being too stubborn and not taking the resources that might be there, and then you do it and then you realize that, or at least I kind of realized, like my body is adapt. I'm an adaptive life, and my hips are working the way they have to work because of my drop foot, and I'm accommodating in different ways. And when I put those on, I start to realize, after wearing them for a week or so, it was like I'm getting this pop in my right hip now, and I'm getting these sharp shooting pains in my shins. And I think, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think watching my dad go through what he went through, my grandfather, and things like that. And they,
Yeah.
adapted, not adapted their lives completely to the disease, but just adapted how they were going to do each task and made it work for how they could accomplish it. And I, on that pattern, I think your body continues to develop and grow, accommodating those certain things. Some of my ligaments and tendons are probably stronger than normal person's ligaments or tendons because
Very
I've
well. Yeah, because you're
utilized
putting stress
them
on
in
there.
the ways I've had to for so many years. And
yeah, he pays very close attention to his body. He knows almost instantly when some muscle is feeling off. He's like, look at this. Look at this.
I started to really hone in on nutrients and understanding, the natural things that we don't put into our bodies. Somebody like us who's living a really adaptive life, it's that much more crucial to have all those specified nutrients of, the things that are going to keep your joints moving properly without tearing something, and keeping yourself extremely hydrated. I mean, you don't
Oh my
realize
gosh.
how
Yeah.
important hydration is,
Oh man. I am
and most
totally not
people
doing that. Yeah, I don't drink enough water at all.
don't.
Yeah,
Yeah, I drink
totally.
tons of. I notice a serious
Yeah.
correlation in that with fatigue and pain, stiffness of your joints, that kinds of stuff, as far as how much hydration you have, and if you haven't been taking your magnesium and things like that,
Yeah. Then you kind of feel it more. So then kind of what's your go-to then with your, if it's the morning routine of your supplements or whatnot, like what are the, you have to have to feel better?
He was on an antidepressant for a little bit and pain management meds, and then he got rid of both of them.
Okay.
So he takes for anxiety or depression, he
I
does
take
St. John's wort.
St. John's wort.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's like a more
Remember that.
homeopathic, anti-anxiety kind of deal. But if I keep my, like, I have a supplement that's like vitamin D3, ashwagandha, and magnesium. I too fish oil. I do turmeric, ginger, black pepper, and then daily vitamins that are more than just your daily complex. It has a what is it, like a anti-stress formulation in it with lots
Okay.
of different natural roots and herbs and supplements.
He definitely tells the difference, though, if he
But
does take
yeah, I
them.
can tell a
Yeah.
huge difference
Yeah.
if I haven't had,
Yeah.
haven't been strict with the regimen
And it's
or.
nice to get out of the pharmaceutical side of it if
Yeah.
you can and if you're able
Yeah.
to.
I kind of agree. I mean, I totally like go away from, I mean, probably the strongest stuff I ever take is like some ibuprofen, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's where I'm
Yeah.
at.
Yeah.
I
I'm not, yeah.
was
I don't want to deal with any of that pharmaceutical stuff. I totally agree
on.
with you.
Yeah. I kind of caved back when I was going to Ohio State years ago, and they offered like gabapentin. It's like a neuro blocker,
Okay.
to stop with like pain recepting and whatnot. And then I kind of opened up during an appointment and told them, they're like, do you have anxiety? Are you experienced depression? And I'm like, how wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Like, not
In a
worried.
world that doesn't accommodate for any of
Stopped
this.
working, and all I've been thinking about is my muscular dystrophy for the past
Yeah.
2 years. It's like,
Right.
I got on like a Cymbalta, and it kind of turned into that appointments, appointments, appointments to refill the prescriptions. And it was like,
Kind of wanted to spend that energy on doing things that he enjoyed doing rather than you have a good day and you've got appointments to go to and I'd like to get off this. So we started researching and
I came to a couple times where the prescription wasn't being filled because I didn't go to an appointment. And so it made me feel way worse coming off of any of those things than I ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
And
Interesting.
so it really made me kind of put my foot down and, I don't know, charge through the pain or charge through the issues and
Yeah.
refuse to take those. That's when I started kind of taking the St. John's wort and really buckling down on what nutrients and stuff that I can
Yeah.
have and keep in my body to stop a lot of these things from being as intense,
Yeah, and I think that's good that you bring those up. That's what I wanted to ask, 'cause I think that's like common for people, sharing what do you do, what do you take, or what do you avoid, or what do you ingest and so forth. And I'm finding more and more people are trying to find that more homeopathic way, a little more
Yeah, I've
natural
been
way.
seeing a lot of that too. Definitely a shift back to that, which is nice.
Totally. Yeah, I had knee surgery a long time ago, and when I was coming to, they were trying to put a pill in the little cup they give you. There's a little
Oh
white
yeah.
pill, and they're like, "Here, just take this." I go, "Oh, what is that?" And they're like,
No.
"Oh, it's just some pain med. It's like it was Oxy or something." Like, no way. Hell
Want
no. Hell no. No. They're like, "How about a half?" I'm like, no. How about none?
Yeah,
Like,
I love
it's my
none.
choice, you know. And
Very
my wife was like,
comfortable.
really? Like, how, like, aren't you in pain? I'm like, yes, but I know pain. I know what that is.
That's
I'm very
very
familiar with
true.
that feeling. And this is pain that, like, I'm after surgery. Like, this is good pain. Like, this is going to be healing. This will get better. And I have told people, I mean, because, like, when I don't know about you guys and what you deal with when people witness you even just stand up or move. You kind of alluded to it, the differences. And I don't think I'm showing the progression as Joe is, but definitely I'm a little different. But when I stand up, like, there's always the pause for a while. Like, okay, let me get the bearings. The pain is coming. Here it is. And my knees are shot to hell anyway, which probably has nothing to do with FSHD. And some people are like, oh, are you in pain? I'm like, man, me and pain are best friends, man. We are best buddies. You know, he's always
That's
there.
something I've talked about for a lot of years
I'll
too,
say
is
pain
that
isn't real.
I've kind of went to this thing and there it is, my imagination popping up again, like pain isn't real, it's just a symptom of thinking right now,
You're like,
like
are you doing okay? He's like, yes,
Yeah, I'm
I am.
fine. Yes.
Absolutely fine.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I thought I was the only one that like would like say that. Like just today, Joe, just today, Leah, I own a or part own of a baseball organization that you may
Okay,
not
cool.
know because you might see it on other episodes that talk about it. Well, I ordered a bunch of like exercise equipment for the athletes. We're enhancing our facility. We're adding this equipment. I am there by myself. The
Oh
big
my God.
truck pulls up and we do not have a dock. And he's like, how do you want me to get this off? I'm like, well, I can't carry
Well,
it off. Yeah. So we figure out how to get it down. He's got a machine and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, those were the moments where the guy was like, well, can you jump in the back of the truck and help me push it off? I go, no, I can't. I'm like, I'm going to swing around even just on the one little arm to try to get up inside the truck. No. So it's like hurdle after hurdle to someone that doesn't know me, you know, and then we accomplish the task, finish it up. I got to unload all this stuff. But you're right. Like all those things, you know, pain is with you, right? The whole way.
Yeah.
But I do find that if I continue to move or work through it, I find that I'm better at the end of it than if I yes. didn't do it at all. Like yes. it's hurt anyway, so I might as well move, you know?
Yeah. And my biggest thing is just to keep my frustrations at bay throughout the course of that, because it messes, you know, like you said, you're better off after it, right? I'm a firm believer that, you know, with pain comes progress, you know? It's like, you know,
good stuff.
Like
yeah.
the concept where, like, you know, a seed never grows until it breaks open, you know. It's there had wow. the pain is part of that journey that then builds that result at the end. You know, you're better off coming out of it, pushing through a perseverance, and you come through those weak moments and your frustration flares, and man, it can just derail everything.
Yeah.
It can just turn into, you know, a snowball effect in the wrong direction.
And I'm like, we need to laugh about this.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute and laugh.
Yeah.
So that's why I started. I think that's why I started saying, you know, pain, it doesn't exist. It's not even a real thing.
I'm like, all right, it's not existing. We're keeping it.
Well, that's how you cope. Right. Like, that's how you cope. We treat FSHD sometimes in our house like a bad roommate. Uh-huh. It makes me fall down. It doesn't pick up after itself. You know, it's like, it's just there. And it's like,
it's an extension of who you are. Yeah. There's Joe, and then there's the FSHD, and they correlate together. And but he's so much more than the FSHD. And I think as his wife, I'm just constantly trying to remind him, you know, that we're not in this big race of life like everybody else is. You know, let's be, you know, society isn't. Ready for, you know, to slow down and to acknowledge things and what's going on. And
and if we don't slow down and embrace the moments, who will? You know, it's like,
and then of course with your loved ones, you know, use the word we in there, and that's part of, you know, why you guys are here together, because it's like what Leah said in the post, as I frantically page through, so I know what it came from. The Muscular Dystrophy Coalition is where you posted it. At least that's what I saw.
When I would look up groups about FSHD, I wouldn't get a lot of them that I ended up finding. That was like the main one that popped up. And there wasn't a whole lot of communication between people going on there. It seemed just, you know, a couple people on the post. And I was like, I'm just dying to share what I've been carrying. You know, this is just impacting not only Joe, but, you know, me. And I know other people have to be feeling this way, and I hope they're not feeling so alone. And, you know, the pain doesn't go away, the ache doesn't go away, the worry doesn't go away. It's every day, all day. You know, you decide what it looks like for you, you know, and I think that we've learned a lot about that together. And I think that it felt important to share, you know, not only like what he's going through, but how it feels to feel so helpless.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching him, you know, wrestle with his body and trying to figure out how to move and do things, and all while still navigating his emotions and his brain, you know, he's telling his body to do something and it's not, and it's frustrating, you know? And, I just think it's something that needed to be heard. And it really, I was incredibly moved by all of the people that, responded to it and all the messages I received. And I was like,
get home.
This needed to be said, I feel. Yeah. And, I think that we've wrestled with speaking out before. You know, we had like an unfortunate incident with the police in our community, and they had no clue what his disability was, and they were dealing with his father actually, and he was there to communicate on his behalf, and because of how he moves and the way he speaks, and especially if he's upset or, you know, things like that. He was treated terribly, and he ended up being placed in handcuffs for 30 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Behind his back before they finally released him.
And they were trying to charge him with public intoxication. And
because of his, they said he was slurring, but he just couldn't get his words to formulate the way he needed them to formulate.
Right.
And he's in a stressful situation, which I've seen effects, you know, if he's high strung or he's stressed, it will affect things like that.
Yep, absolutely. And
I wasn't there, unfortunately, but that was when I realized, you know, it's important to get the word out for, you know, institutions, not just families and, you know, our friends and our community around us, but the institutions that are around us.
If us that live with FSHD can't see a whole lot of intertwined connection and community with it, then it's really hard to depend on the, you know, the governing bodies around us to even understand what might be going on in our lives or how
or putting them, you know, in an unsafe situation or something that could cause, you know, more harm to him and his body. So I've been in contact with the chief of police trying to find a way to give him some sort of information and things. And he's really not interested in our,
probably not. Yeah.
We feel so. That's just the battle that we're dealing with, you know, and it really is everywhere. It's everywhere we go. We come in contact with it all over the place. And I think not only do I worry about our family, you know, being misunderstood or things like that, it's who else is going through this, you know, out in the world with FSHD. Like, we just really, the communication we were lacking with others.
Yeah. So
that's why I think I reached out the most, was to just connect.
Yeah. And your words, we definitely spoke to a lot of people. And I thought, you know, get it farther out with whatever reach I could offer. That's why I thought this would be a great opportunity to have you guys on to talk about just your life, right? Like, how do you work through this? How do you cope through this? And the caregivers, the spouses, and your the partnerships, and however your relationship is framed, you have someone there with you. It's almost as if they're going through it with you. Like, literally, they almost have it as well. And it almost can be just as frustrating or more so, you know, as you mentioned, you're watching him fall, or the changes of like the new version or normal of what Joe is now, right? As the disease keeps taking
away. It shifts all the time. Shifts, I mean,
it's different every couple of years, it seems like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, there was like some words that really kind of pulled out for me. Because I was like shaking my head, like, yeah, I feel this. I understand. I've seen this, like, frustration. You've talked about that. Anger. I was just talking about this with another person the other day. I went, I'm still trying to figure out that why anger is one of my lead emotions. I stub my toe or something happened. I'm pissed off. Why?
It's because your life is frustrating every day. Every day you wake up,
like
not sleeping well, and
it's the culmination of every minute of our lives having to deal with the acceptance that there is not an answer.
And need the people around you to be calm and patient and kind of let you feel those feelings that you're feeling and validate that. And then say, okay, we're not going to sit here though.
I get
what you're feeling, but now we're going to keep it moving.
Now those, what? Right.
The feelings are valid. So what, you know, with his frustration and his feeling, you know, isolated and like he doesn't have anybody to talk to about it, even with family, you know, with the condition, and, you know, even talking to somebody his own age, you know, because you don't expect your life to be, you know, disabled at 34 years old and trying to figure out where your career is going to go and where, what your life is going to look like.
There's so many things, you know, just personal things that have been ripped away from me. I've always been a very athletic person. And with, like I said, you know, in seventh grade, I stopped being able to really shoot the basketball the right way, you know? So it was kind of like, any pursuant things of my own self-interest with, I skateboarded for a lot of years and got pretty good at it pretty quick. But the drop foot, before I even knew I had drop foot, was taking me off the skateboard. Yeah, probably 5 years before I even knew what drop foot was or that I had it. And so there's hurdles that you continuously go through. And, you know, I had a strong passion for working on vehicles. So, you know, I have a project car and I like working with my hands. I like building things. And
then I lost
now I've lost the dexterity in my hands and can't make fists very well, you know. And so I then, you know, I transferred over to snowboarding. Snowboarding is like you wear your boots are like ankle foot orthotics.
Yeah.
Right.
And so my brother, luckily, bless his heart, got me back on the snowboard. And you can feel alive doing some of those things again, but it's so difficult and there's so much adversity just to try and pursue doing those things.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, all them frustrations start wearing on you. And it's like you have to have, I don't know, you have to have a mindset and a plan to get out of it. And humor is the best.
Yeah.
Humor is one of the best things. And
yeah, laughter combats the anger, right? What's its opposite? So you try to concentrate on that, even though, yes, to your point, you want to feel those things. You want the anger to be there. But yet it's got to get dismissed, like address it and move on. And then, like mourning the person you probably thought you'd be.
Yeah.
If it was a year ago and
absolutely.
You're younger to what you've evolved into now. That was the first advice I had as well from someone that honestly, she had MS. It was my boss at the time. And she, like, when I came back to work after a doctor's appointment, getting this diagnosis, shock in my face. And she's like, how was the appointment? I go, I don't know. And she closed the door and went, okay, what's going on? I tell her, she's like, okay. She could relate. She had MS. She had a similar diagnosis. She says, you're going to mourn. These things are going to happen.
Yeah.
That was great advice that I didn't realize was great at the time. And
yeah,
I think that a lot of people don't realize that, right? Like you have this vision of what you thought you were going to be. Maybe it was when you were younger or whatever, a year ago. And the damn FSHD takes that image away of what you thought it was going to be.
It's like he's constantly trying to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
Just well, to like, survive.
Yeah. Like when my daughter.
To feel productive and good. And, not only are you physically limited, but you're exhausted, you're hurting.
Right.
You've got all of this emotional weight from a world that doesn't stop to accommodate any of these things that you're feeling. And you're almost pushed by society to be taught that your worth is tied up to your productivity. And when you no longer have that or an option, or you're trying to figure out what's next, it's an identity crisis.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an absolute identity crisis.
But even like the masculine side.
Yes.
Right? Women deal with this all the time. This like image of what that perfect woman should be. Those that are only listening, I just did air quotes, so don't get mad at me. And it's like, you know, I don't even know what that, you know, the P word perfect is. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. It's all within the eye of the beholder, including yourself. And as long as you're great with yourself, you should be great. But it's
that's
not
what we
the case because of this like constant marketing machine that tells us you should look this way or act this way.
Yes.
And sometimes people forget men get bombarded by this all the time. We are supposed to be muscular.
Yeah.
Last time I checked. Recently I think more men should be having facial hair. So Joe's good there, but the, you know, that like persona of the strength and that strength is physical, not strength emotional.
Yes.
You know,
and I think that's like, what I'm trying to constantly remind him of.
That's what I've learned and developed a lot is that, you know,
it's untalked about strength.
Masculinity is kind of a facade. It's kind of, you know,
it is.
Being a man is not,
being
physically strong, and it's, you know, trying to be a good father, trying to set a good example, knowing when to hold your tongue, knowing when not to say these things. Don't let the frustration out. That's the strength.
He teaches our kids such openness and strength just with his struggles. And he teaches me to be independent because he'll walk me through something and I'm the muscle, he's the brain. And you know, it's what you're doing is being a man. It and it's something that most men, if they lost all of their muscle or their ability to move their hands or walk, they would be a shell.
Most
and you are still thriving and wanting so much more out of life. And what's next? Or what am I going to do next? He just enrolled in college to try to figure out, you know, a different path that he can take. And it's just, he doesn't give up. And I think that his passion fires into mine. And then when he's not feeling it, I'm able to push him. And it just kind of.
One feeds the other, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that's what keeps us going.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Do you ever get, if, when you're talking about adaption, you're talking about the other things that we were saying, you know, anger in the morning and the frustration and the, but really it's like a constant fight.
It is.
It is.
It's exhausting. It's
exhausting. Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So how do you cope, both of you, with that? Because you're both in the fight.
Knowing when I need time to just go sit by the river or something.
Grounding ourselves is huge. Yeah.
Grounding, getting out into the woods away from people.
Slowing down.
You know, a lot of times that struggle in our head with that we're having with ourselves because of our condition can turn into like resentment towards others and things like that. And so I'll notice that, you know, when I can get back to like nature, when I can, you know, sit and talk to God in the woods and, or, you know, I catch a fish and admire the beauty of that fish for a minute, you know, it centers,
it breathes life back into you.
Yeah. It centers my life back
to
what matters and what counts. Just like going for a walk with my son, you know what I mean? Or something, or taking him fishing, you know, those kinds of things really, some people don't have kids, but when you pour into your children in a positive manner, regardless of what your abilities are, teach them something, guide them just through such thoughts or something. And those things become your gratification on, you know, feeling like you can do something again, you know, it's like spreading
you
some knowledge.
Have, you still have worth, right? I mean, you're searching for the worth that you can still give back to, if it's your partner or your kid. You know,
helping a friend, you know, helping a friend with their thoughts and struggles they're dealing with. You know, I can.
He's incredible to our entire network of people, our friends, our family. I mean, everybody uses Joe as like the voice in the back of their head. Like, well, look what Joe did. And if he can do that with all of these feelings and all this thing, then I need to just get out there and do it. And he's a motivator. He really is a motivator.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just as important as doing. And the faster that you can realize that your life doesn't always have to look like everybody else's, or you're not in this race against time to succeed in all the different ways that other people could be succeeding. And what does that look like for you? And, you know, really diving deep into all of those kinds of questions, it saved our minds. I mean, it saved us from going crazy. It was just...
Yeah, it does.
I do a lot of writing, to answer your question. I love to write my thoughts out. I've always been a writer since I was younger. I wrote a lot of poetry. I just really enjoy...
Clearly.
Articulating my thoughts.
Yeah, right.
Articulating my thoughts when I'm overwhelmed. And I had been feeling overwhelmed, you know, because I try so hard to be patient and validating and loving and funny when we need to be funny. And then sometimes you try all of those things and none of it work, you know? And so it's like, okay, I'm going to let you be frustrated. I'm going to go take some time and write this thing down that I need to get out of my brain. And then we're going to sit outside and we're going to, you know, watch the sunset, or if the moon's up, we're going to pull out the telescope, you know, like, let's go on a walk, let's do something. You know, I know he gets self-conscious about walking during the day, like around our neighborhood. So we'll walk at night and I'll say, let's have a little night walk, you know? And I feel good when he feels good. So, but I can also know when to pull myself back and say, okay, this is this is his feeling and I can't fix this right now. I've tried all the ways. And so now I just need to keep myself centered. And I think that that's, it's hard for somebody who like me, who's a fixer, but it's something that we're learning.
And I'm a fixer too. And so it's really hard to not dive deeper, deeper, deeper and bring all these negative thoughts out into reality. Right. You know, it's, and then I also know it's unhealthy to just bury them all down. So it's like, I have to switch
the balance.
I have to know when to switch gears and do something that I can do. I have to know when to, you know, okay. You know, my friend's been wanting to talk. Maybe I can help him through his thoughts today, you know, or if I can't get through my own thoughts and my own reality.
And he comes home and he's like, talking to him really helped me see that this was an issue, you know, and this is why I felt that way earlier. And I was like, good. I'm so glad you're feeling that way. Like,
yeah.
Off we go back on the path.
Right. Well, like your mindset is similar to someone that I've interviewed a couple times and so every once in a while who sent me a random text, and Ben Livingston is his name. And he actually swims a lot and in this river that I guess is like a natural spring. And he's like, and so a lot of the things you've said, it kind of reminds me of him, like how he copes with what this is.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no like avoiding it, you know,
it's in your face.
Yeah. It's in your face. It's unavoidable. The fight is exhausting. I mean, every day, you know, you swing your legs out best you can, put your feet on the ground and go, okay, here's my choice. Am I getting up and then let's go again or not?
When he first wakes up, like his elbows, he feels like they're just like bleeding. Like it just, they just hurt.
Yeah. It's a straighten your arms. I mean, if you sleep with your arms bent at all, I mean, it's like I have woke up many times and just, you know, I'm just going to go right back to sleep because I don't want to move my arms right now. Like at all.
Right.
And you have to be patient and loving with yourself in those moments, just like you are when you're tucking it down a river and figuring out how to kayak, you know, or flying down a mountain and everybody's like, how in the world is he not killing himself right now? And I'm like, I don't know, but I am supporting it.
He's nuts and I love it. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm not going to take it away.
Right. When that is the good partner, right? That is the good partnership. Biblically, they'll say that like that's yoked, you know, you're yoke each other. You know, when one is struggling, the other seems to fill. And I know that too with my wife as well. If one of us is ticked off, the other one maybe is a little more calming.
It's really amazing how that works. If you can get in the flow of that, it makes life 10 times
dance.
Easier.
It's a dance. Sometimes we miss a step, but
man. So then what's next? You say school is coming up for you, Joe, and then Leah, are you going to like continue writing? I mean, where is that going to go? So we got to, you know, like, what is the next step for you guys?
I just write for myself usually. But I don't know. I have tons of writings. I don't know what I'll do with it. It's mostly just for me.
I'm going to say there's definitely been a big inspiration to just try and be more involved with the community.
Yeah. We did sign up
since
for,
she posted that thing and stuff.
Yeah.
The MDA on the Hill in November.
We signed
up to see if we could go to that. Mostly we want to see, we want to meet people. We want to see what's going on. I want to give him a community that, you know, he can bounce off of, like, that are also feeling all of these things that he's feeling. Because as great as our friends are, none of them have muscular dystrophy.
Knowing that there needs to be more connection in the community, I've felt it and I see it so much from other people commenting through it. And it's definitely trying to maintain the motivation to continue that, you know, developing that communication, whatever that might be. More involved on websites. I did join the Columbus chapter of FSHD.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to try to motivate myself to go to the meetings and things like that and become more involved with some of that stuff and see where that could go.
So involvement. Yes. Involvement. So like education, stay with the fight. Leah, you're going to have to start writing more. That's just how it's going to have to be. So
people have to hear it.
I mean, Joe just said it, right? When you wrote that, and look what happened.
I know, it truly did. It was like everybody needed to hear it, and I was really glad I was able to reach all the people that I did. It just all the messages that I got, and even all the comments on the actual post. It was just. I was like, what can I do? How can I help all of these people? All these people need me.
That's a little bit of a landslide.
We don't have all the answers.
I was like, hopefully they're feeling validated, and just wanted them to feel all the things that we've learned, you know, and people are struggling. I mean, people are having a very difficult time, and it puts it into perspective, you know, our life too. And everybody struggles just differently. And we're just looking forward to getting to know the community.
There you go. Lastly, last question would be, how would you maybe give advice, even though there's a lot of advice I think you've given throughout, you know, without really me directly asking you, but someone that's recently diagnosed, and I've asked this to other guests in the past, and, you know, I said, person maybe stumbles upon the podcast or happen to be watching your interview or listening to your interview about this, and they're like, I'm lost. I don't even know what to do here. Like, what's my first step? What's this going to be like? What advice would you give to that person or that couple that's going to take this on? Just find out.
So be patient with yourself first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to figure it all out right now. But, and at the same time as, you know, being patient with yourself, also don't put off the things that you wanted to do.
You can't lose your fight. You got to keep.
Don't sit down and give up. It's the struggle's going to be there. You know, you hate to say it, but right. It is. It's part of the lives we face. And like you said, or we were saying earlier, you know, it's almost like a mourning process, right?
It is
and
a mourning process.
To validly know that, you know, you are going to continue to have to adapt. You're never going to quite figure it out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those are really hard truths or not the most positive thing to hear, but when you can accept them and validate them, then you can grow off of them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the integrity that I've built in my life is because I'm so destroyed by this physical condition and the emotional struggles that I went through. So don't be afraid of the fight. Like, it's, you're going to come out way more of a person than you ever knew you could be.
Yeah.
And do those things. Don't sit around and think about, I would like to do this, that, and the other, maybe physical things, you know, don't build a scenario where you're going to regret, you know, because there's a lot of my battles that I struggle with that is like mourning my past. And why didn't I pursue these types of things while I still could, or experience these types of things before I couldn't run anymore, and, you know, different stuff. So
regrets, right?
Yeah, the regrets.
Yeah. You know, validly try to not create any regrets, but validly also understand that it's not an easy road, and you're going to be stronger because of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think for someone who's in a relationship, you know, it really any inter-able relationship where someone's able to do something and other one is not, I think that brings its own set of challenges. I know for women, we're taught what is a man, you know, and it's like we've discussed, it's someone who's muscular, or, you know, the breadwinner in the family, or, you know, the one carrying all the heavy things. And I think that can be detrimental to a relationship. Any sort of society norms. Yeah, I mean, you just really need to get rid of that and look at the person that you're with. You know, what makes them unique? You know, everybody is so unique. And I think that looking around in the world is just detrimental. I think staying calm, staying focused, staying as happy as you can. Also, asking for help if you need it, you know, especially from, you know, like my side, I know that I carry all of this emotional baggage for both of us a lot of the times, and it's very heavy. And so sometimes I just need to go with my friends and have, you know, a couple hours or whatever to just enjoy myself, just as me.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's anyone in a caretaker role in any, you know, sense of the word. So
for sure. Yep. The me time.
Just take care of yourself. Find something that gives you joy. And, you know, your joy is just as important as them finding their joy. And then once you both realize that, that tug and pull kind of ends, and it's just, you're just feeding into each other, which is what needs to happen.
That's excellent advice. It is. Because you guys are living it. And I think people need to hear it from your post to what we talked about today. I think we only just scratched the surface of this. And
all for hours.
Yeah, it's all for now, right? I mean, there, and I definitely want to follow how you guys grow within each other. And even if this disease takes something away, it feels like you just replace it with something else.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I get between.
More laugh, more love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good title for the episode. Yeah. More laugh. Well, thank you both for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Oh, this was fantastic. This is what I needed. These are those moments where I say, hate to say it, but it's like, if I didn't have FSHD, I'm not meeting these people.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, you're almost grateful in a way, you know.
Well, we're very appreciative for, you know, FSHD and the society as a whole, and what you're doing here is fabulous. I think
it's
are doing
a great
job.
Very important work.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so. But it can't be done unless I have people like you to come on the show. Well, I've done a solo episode. It's not nearly as much fun.
We appreciate the invite for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you for having us. It was so nice talking to you.
Thanks. Likewise. You guys take care.
You too. Thank you.
What a conversation. As I said, it was going to most likely pull your emotions quite a bit, make you look at that loved one that you share your time with in this fight of FSHD, and maybe take a moment, take a pause, share the love with each other a little bit more. Don't take each other for granted. Learn to help each other. Evenly yoked, I kind of said in the episode. They said how they balance each other out. I'd mentioned before we started this episode, there's going to be a lot of takeaways from you, from the supplements Joe takes, to the advice they give, at the end there to those that are newly diagnosed. So many things that we can all learn from. So from such a young couple, but yet have been together for so long and have probably went through more battles than most and still seem to be just as in love as newlyweds. And it's inspiring. And why can't all of us have that? So I really thank them for taking the courage and the time to be on here, for Leah to write what she wrote. Very difficult for me to write, to read. When we started this episode, I'm not going to read it again. I barely made it through the first time. And knowing that those things came straight from the heart, I could feel it. And I hope you felt the same way throughout this episode. And I hope you took a lot of value from it, some inspiration from it. Follow the MD Coalition page. It's interesting if you haven't found that one yet. And be a part of those communities. Be a part of mine. Email me, please, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Find a local chapter. Find a group that you can be around. There's so many offerings for the FSHD Society. It's all in their calendar of events. Some are virtual, some are face-to-face. I implore you to join as well, because we talked about that even in this episode today. A lot of fun talking to them, and a lot of amazing points of advice. And, I like to jot down, you know, certain things that kind of, you know, we talked about masculinity. It's kind of a facade, Joe said, that really stuck with me. With pain comes progress. Joe mentioned that really speaks to me as well. You know, it is an acceptance, and acceptance does not necessarily mean defeat. It just means we have to adapt, because we've accepted what is taken from us yet again. We adapt. And I feel like this episode offered that. Not just adaption for the one person at FSHD, but the other people that are in your life that live with those adaptions, live with the changes and the feelings that come with that. So I hope this episode brought some comfort, some type of positive energy for you as you move forward. And I always thank everyone for listening, for the privilege of me being in your ears or on your screens and listening with these great conversations with these amazing people that I have on. If it wasn't for this disease, I would not meet these people. That is one part that I try to see as a positive with what the situation is I have. So yeah, check out FSHGSociety.org for all those kind of events. Please email me if you'd like to be on the show or a topic you'd like to cover, or maybe nominate someone. I've had some of those too come through FSHGRadio@FSHGSociety.org. Follow the show as well. We're on Spotify, anywhere else you find your podcasts, and YouTube, I think they play it as well. If you like to watch and listen, fantastic. Don't know why, but fantastic. I'm more of a traditional podcast guy. I love to listen. And thank you again for having me part of your life over this interview and over this episode and all the other past ones. I look forward to sharing the next one with you. Until then, take care and thank you for listening to the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. Take care.